Perhaps we could turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, and if we read from verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither yourselves go in yourselves, neither ye suffer them that are entering in to go in." Verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Could we go to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, Gospel of John in chapter 3. We'll read from verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If we just go on to chapter 4, same book, Gospel according to John, chapter 4. Read from verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And just one last reading, chapter 6 of the same book, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37. And halfway, I'm just going to read halfway through that verse. "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word and give us help as we continue inside the gospel meeting. Well, I always start a gospel meeting by simply saying that word gospel, it simply means good news and glad tidings. It's good news. It is glad tidings. The Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he was able to tell his disciples to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Because wherever the disciples would go in the world and wherever the gospel would be preached in the world, it would be 100% relevant to whoever it would find. No matter where it would be across the globe, because the Bible would make it clear that all have sinned and they've fallen short of the glory of God. And so there was a need for the gospel to be preached throughout all of the world. It is a good news meeting. It is a message of good news. It's a message of glad tidings. And it is, we trust that you'll find a blessing in the word that is preached tonight. We opened up the reading with the reading inside Matthew, and we read those sobering words that the Lord Jesus was speaking when he was here on earth, and he said, "Woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in." Words from the Lord Jesus, woe Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees in the day of the Lord Jesus, they were the ones that would be seen and they would be regarded as the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones that would have the word of God, and they were the ones that would do the teaching, and they were the ones that would do the preaching, and they were the ones that would go around and seek to be the ones that would claim to be the messengers of God, and they would seek to find people. And as we would read inside the verse 15, they would try to find one, a proselyte, or they would convert people to their way of doing things. And these men, they had the scriptures and they had the word of God. They had some of the scriptures that we even have inside the word of God that we've got with us tonight. And yet these men, they find themselves under the condemning words of the Lord Jesus himself, as he would say, woe, woe unto you. It's a negative. And there was something that the Lord Jesus was able to see that these men were doing that was 100% wrong as far as God was concerned, because they were hypocrites and they were going around with the word of God and all of their religiousness, seeking to keep some portion of the word of God here and some portion of the word of God there. And they would seek to tell people that you should obey some of the word of God. And they would dress up in nice clothes. And the Bible tells us that there was a Pharisee and he made his prayer to God, and it records the prayer, but it also tells us this: he prayed with himself. You see, the Pharisee, he prayed with himself. You see, the prayer that he was praying, it wasn't really to God. It was just an empty formality. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither ye suffer them that are entering to go. And you see, God has made it absolutely clear inside the scriptures that God is a God of salvation. God is a saving God. God is a God who desires that men and women would be saved. He's a God that desires that men and women would know what it is to come into salvation. And there were religious activity going on inside that day. And as far as man coming to God was concerned, there were obstacles. There were obstacles to that. There were hindrances. And the Lord Jesus condemned it. Because people could get caught up in all of the religious activity. And people could get caught up in some of this teaching of the word of God and try to follow a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And they could think that they were on their way to heaven. They could think that they were right with God. And the entire time, the Bible tells us, or concerning those proselytes, when he is made, you make him a twofold child of hell than yourself. Are those words relevant today? Are those words relevant in the... They were relevant in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, we read inside John chapter 3, there was a man called Nicodemus. And he came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus had these words for him. This man, Nicodemus, he was a teacher. He was a teacher of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was a man that knew the scriptures. He was a man that knew the scriptures, and he would teach the scriptures as well. And yet this man came to the Lord Jesus, and he came to him by night. And he said, he came to the Lord Jesus by night, acknowledging that this man that he was before in the person of Jesus was a man who came from God, because no one could do the miracles that he did. He was in that right place where he was able to acknowledge that as far as God was concerned, that this man had the words of God, that if he was going to draw closer to God, if he was going to draw know more about God, even being a teacher of Israel, he had questions for this man in the person of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus got straight to the point. We hope to get straight to the point tonight. In regards to salvation, he said these words: except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's not even going to see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. That there was something that was absolutely essential that had to happen inside the life of this man, Nicodemus, that he would need to be born again. That Nicodemus, for all of his religious activity, for all of the scriptures that he might have known, for all of the Bible that he might have memorized, for all of the Bible that he might have tried to practice in his own life, he heard these words from the Lord Jesus himself: except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there was something that was absolutely fundamental for Nicodemus if he was going to see the kingdom of God. It was absolutely fundamental, and no amount of religious activity was going to make up for this simple truth of the need that if he was ever to see the kingdom of God, he would need to be born again. You see, God, the Lord Jesus, he said, "Woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees, because God, he desires that man and woman would be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You see, God loved the world and he sent his Son in order to save. Well, this Nicodemus, he hears these words concerning the need to be born again. We read of a woman in Samaria, a Samaritan woman. And we read those words the Lord Jesus would say to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water." He's telling the woman about something that's living and it's alive. You see, Nicodemus was a man, he was a teacher, he had the scriptures, he was a Pharisee. He knew something about God. He knew something about what it was to get to the synagogue and to pray. He was familiar with all of these things. Now this woman, she's a little bit different. She's a Samaritan, and the Samaritans, they don't talk with the Jews, and they're altogether just not the same people. And this particular woman, she had five husbands, and I'm not sure that's entirely in the positive. A little bit different from Nicodemus. Nicodemus would be highly respectable. He was a man. He was a teacher. This woman had five husbands. She was a Samaritan. She was a woman. She comes to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus tells her of this living water. The Lord Jesus tells her that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's talking about the water of the well. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." You know, the woman, she said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" She was altogether different from Nicodemus. She was altogether different from Nicodemus, but you know, she just clutched and held on to some sort of relationship that she had with a man called Jacob, with whom God had had dealings with, and he had made promises with, and the nation of Israel, they had come from Jacob, and this woman is a Samaritan. She was claiming that link with Jacob. You see, both Nicodemus and this woman, entirely different, different situations in life, and they both had the same need. They both had a need of a Savior. The Lord told her that the water, "Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know, Nicodemus and this woman, they both had a need. They had a need to get saved. They both had a need. They needed a point where they were going to be joined with God, have a relationship with God, and to be linked with God. I want to tell you, last year some people, they came to my door and they knocked on my door, and they were dressed very nice and smart, just like me, and they knocked on my door on a Saturday morning, and they had a Bible inside their hands, and they tried to instruct me concerning the kingdom of God. But you know, they had a Bible and they had nice clothes. They had nice language, but what they had to tell me left out Christ. And they wanted to convert me to their way, the way that left out Christ. It left out the Savior. It left out the Lord Jesus. All of the religious activity and all of the stories they were able to tell me about all the things that they were doing. But they left out a Savior. I told them about hell. I told them that without a Savior, they were going to go to hell. I told them, for all of their trying to Bible keep and do bits and bobs of what the Bible says, they were destined for hell. It was a man and a wife, and the woman, she was there, and the man tried to tell me, well, there's no such place as hell. I said, well, why did the Lord Jesus talk about the rich man in Luke 16? I mean, he's in hell. And there's twofold, there's twice the child of hell being made by the Pharisees there. The Bible talks about hell. The Bible talks about a lake of fire. The Bible talks about a second death, eternal separation from God. And why would you stand on my doorstep with a Bible and try to tell me these things don't exist? And the woman who was there, the wife, and her eyes grew wide, and her voice grew shrill. And she said, why would God ever throw any of his children into hell? I told her, well, the fact of the matter is God will never throw his children into hell. But you two aren't children of God. You've never been born again. You've never known what it is to simply trust Christ as a Savior. You've got all of your religion. You've got a certain amount of the Bible, but you've left out Christ. You know the Pharisees, they left out Christ. They left out the Savior. In fact, they were instrumental in seeing the person of the Lord Jesus crucified. This was relevant in the day of the Lord Jesus. It's relevant today. Religious activity will never save. Religious activity will never make you right with God. In fact, religious activity can be a great tool of the devil to see people on their way to hell, never to find salvation. A man must be born again. Now, we trust that everyone here tonight would know that if you're ever going to be right with God, if you're ever going to have salvation, a man must be born again. Without a start, there is no middle, and there is no end. Well, the woman at the well, she also needed to be born again, and she was told of the living water that she could drink. And if she was to drink of that water, she would never thirst again. You know, if you get saved, if you trust the Lord Jesus for salvation, and you get saved, and you believe in Christ, trust in Christ, and you just leave all of the trying to live a good life in front of God, and a little bit of Bible keeping here and there, and simply be real before God in regards to sin, and the fact that you're a sinner who needs to receive salvation, and trust that the only way of salvation is through the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. You can trust Christ for salvation, and when you trust Christ for salvation, what you'll receive is eternal. It's eternal life. You see, God, he doesn't save someone just to take it away again. When God saves someone, it's for all of eternity. And this woman, if she was to drink of that water, she would never thirst again. There was never going to be a moment in her life again. If she was going to trust Christ and take God's way of salvation, she would never need to get saved again. For the rest of her life, she would never need to get saved again. But of course, I'm sure having drunk of the living water, she'd love to go there and drink again just for enjoyment, just because she loved it. Well, it's like that when a person gets saved. You know, God, when he saves a person, he doesn't leave them all alone. And they can go to him again and again, and they can just enjoy the wonderfulness of God. And God will save any individual that repents of their sin and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that woe unto those Pharisees that came, yeah, they were closing the kingdom of God. They were stopping people from coming to God. And the Lord Jesus says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out.